Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Friday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Reds were off on Thursday, so I'm joined once again by Bryce Spalding to help me preview the Reds series starting Friday night against the Angels. And then, of course, we'll talk plenty of Reds MILB. Bryce, how we doing, my friend?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you as always. All right, before we get into the conversation, I want to tell you about our proud sponsor, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, well, the Reds, they're coming off a series where they were, of course, swept by the Mariners in Seattle. Obviously, the vibes, understandably, a little bit down in Reds country. But Bryce, let's take a step back and look through the Reds' first 18 games of the season and what a rational person would have expected going into the year. Let's go series by series, all right? So you would have expected they take two of three from the Nationals. You would have expected they lose two of three to the Phillies in Philadelphia. Then they have that six-game homestand with the Mets and Brewers. Probably 3-3 is a reasonable expectation. Maybe 4-2 if you really want to push it. You'd expect they take two of three to the White Sox, and then you'd expect they lose two of three to the Mariners. That adds up to 9-9. Maybe 10-8 if you expect they have that 4-2 homestand. So, Bryce, if you take, is that fair? Like, if you take a step back, that really they're kind of probably where most people would have thought they'd be right now?
Yeah, and I think it's in our blood. We're all competitive people. If you like competitive sports, you're a competitive person, and you don't like to think logically whenever things are happening. So you think the Reds should win every game they're in, no matter what, but you take a step back, and you have your multiple guys struggling. You have multiple guys still hurt. You have a guy you thought was going to be your starting third baseman that's out for another 70 game or whatever, 60 games. Like, the Reds are in a perfectly fine spot. I said it from the time that we heard about Friedel, McClain, and Marte all going down within about 4 days. If the Reds can just stay afloat for this time period until these guys get healthy, I think they're going to be fine. And that's what they're doing. They're staying afloat. They're competing. They haven't played really even good, in my opinion. They've had some good series, some good moments, but I still think there's a lot to be desired with this team, and they're still competing.
And we'll get to him in a minute, but I'm excited to see Nick Lodolo and his impact, because I think there's some serious upside there. The Reds could find a way to win this homestand, you know, just take four of the seven games. I think that would really put them in a good spot. All right, Bryce, let's talk a little bit about the LA Angels, probably a team that most people think is absolutely hot garbage just because they lost Ohtani. They looked really bad at the end of last year. Remember, the Reds swept them. That team looked awful. But they come in 9-10. Strangely, they've only played three different teams all year. They played seven games against the Rays, six against the Red Sox, and three against the Marlins. Now, they did sweep the Marlins to begin 2024. So if you want to look at things a little more optimistically for the Reds this weekend, they are 6-10 since then. But they come in 18th in team OPS in Major League Baseball, 21st in pitching ERA. They've actually been running a lot. Fourth in stolen bases with 22. Reds are first with 34. But of course, no Shohei Ohtani, but Mike Trout, he is off to a great start. Already has 8 home runs, OPS over 1,000. Also already has 5 stolen bases, matching his entire total over the last 3 years combined. Their catcher, Logan O'Hop, 333 average, OPS over 900. Taylor Ward has 6 home runs. So they definitely have some talented players on offense. They do have some players that struggle. Anthony Rendon is, for some reason, hitting leadoff. He's got a 79 WRC+, also apparently hates playing baseball. The bottom of their order has been really bad so far this year, but Bryce, this is not a team you could take lightly. They feel a lot like the New York Mets, kind of, when they were coming into town, where I think me and you both were kind of like, you know, let's not count our wins here. And sure enough, the Reds lost 2-3.
Yeah, especially whenever you have a superstar like Trout where he can single-handedly win baseball games. It's always a finicky thing there. Like you walk a guy or hit a guy in a single, and Mike Trout hits a 3-run home run. Like that changes a lot. So like you mentioned, O'Hop's a really good player, really good young player. I like their shortstop a lot, Zach Neto. He's kind of struggling a little bit, but I do think he's a good player. And another thing that we keep running into it, they're going to face two left-handed pitchers this weekend. So you really want to see CES kind of continue to break out. If he's going to do that, you'd like to see Espinal show why they acquired him to hit left-handed pitching. So you'd like to see those guys you kind of expect to continue to hit left-handed pitching do so this weekend. Against two pretty tough matchups in Anderson and Sandoval. But yeah, definitely can't take them lightly. The middle of their lineup is really good with Trout and Ward and O'Hop there. So especially in Great American, nothing's a given.
Yeah, good point about Santiago Espinal. I know we've talked a lot about, obviously, Jamer Candelaria. You know, Reds obviously need him to pick it up. But Espinal, I know there's a lot of Reds fans just like, this guy's terrible. I mean, he's been a serviceable player. He's been a guy that I think you should feel comfortable about against left-handed pitchers. So this is a good opportunity for him this weekend. Reds 6:40 Friday night. Tyler Anderson against, we think, Nick Lodolo. Angels announced their starters. The Reds have not. Saturday 6:40, a lefty Patrick Sandoval against Graham Ashcraft. And then Sunday 1:40, Jose Soriano making just his third major league start against Frankie Montas. We'll talk a little bit more about Friday night's matchup at the end. We're going to talk a little bit of Reds MILB next. But first, the Reds, they are home for the next 7 days starting on Friday. You, of course, got the City Connect jerseys on Friday night. You got the free team calendar on Saturday. You got a fleece blanket giveaway on Sunday. And, of course, the best way to get down to the ballpark is with the Game Time app. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying Major League tickets. My personal favorite feature of the Game Time app is the seat layout. It shows you exactly the price around the stadium in each section in a very clean way. You also have all-in pricing. You toggle this feature at the top. It'll show your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Create an account. Use the code SENSI for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code SENSI, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. And we also have a new sponsor, the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation. Really happy to have them along. We're going to tell you a little bit more about them in the days to come, but they always have help available. You can dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. So thanks to the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation for supporting Chatterbox Reds. All right, let's talk some Reds MILB. We'll start off with AAA Louisville. They were rained out. They will play a doubleheader on Friday at the Iowa Cubs starting at 5:30. Tyler Gilbert in game one, Carson Spires in game two. Bryce, this AAA Louisville team really banged up, obviously, with Blake Dunn hasn't started in like a week. Jacob Herdebees is still out. Offensively, there's not a whole lot down there. The pitching, Connor Phillips and Lyon Richardson have really struggled with their command. Not been a fun start for the bats overall.
No. A couple injuries at that level to where it's kind of the level where things kind of start equaling out. Like, you don't want to rush anybody to AAA. You don't want to, like, do a bunch of things. So you're just really kind of filling rosters, like, with your Hernan Perez's and your Levi Jordans and guys that, I mean, probably are realistically never going to see a big league roster. So it's tough whenever the guys you're excited about watching, the, like you mentioned, the Jacob Herdebees's and Blake Dunn's of the world are banged up, and unfortunately a guy like Rhys Hines has really struggled out of the gate. So I still want to continue. Like, I like the bullpen a lot there. It's good to see Tony Santion continue doing what we want him to do. So same with a couple other guys. I think Connor Phillips is going to be okay. I think he's kind of working through some things, maybe trying to work on his pitch mix a little bit. So I think we get caught up in results sometimes when, in all reality, a guy like Phillips who has known that he can perform is probably just trying to refine about how can I get to the big leagues and stick versus just I'm going to overpower everybody with a good fastball and slider. So same with Richardson. Both of those guys, as we know, have things to work on. We saw that at the big league level last year. So not super down on them by any means. I want them to continue to get better. That's what minor league baseball is for. We want them to continue to grow. And the product might not always be great. You got to watch your Connor Capels and Mike Ford try to hit 2-run home runs every night. But we enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, Mike Ford, interesting. It'd be interesting if the Reds do ever pull the trigger on him coming up, or if it just would strictly have to be if there was a injury to one of like the first base DH types that the Reds have. Yeah, interesting point on Phillips. It's interesting. We've interested to know what the Reds have told him to work on specifically. So there might be something that he's completely trying to change that he's working through. Excited to see Carson Spires on Friday night. He's looked really good. He continues to just impress me. A guy that's kind of come out of nowhere over the last year, 2 years, and really, I think, has a chance to stick on a major league roster at some point.
Yeah, I think he almost fits like a Nick Martinez type role. Like he's a guy that you can throw as your quote-unquote 13th pitcher, and he can start some days. He can pitch 5 innings out of the bullpen like he did the other day and kind of fill out a game. So he throws strikes, and he gets people out. So that's exactly how you stick in the big leagues like you were talking about.
All right, before we get to some of the other fun stuff, Chattanooga at AA, they lost 4-0 to Biloxi. That's 3 straight losses for the Lookouts. They're now 3-8 on the season. They only got 2 hits on Thursday night. Sam Ben Schuster, 3 runs over 5 innings pitched, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Is there anything in Chattanooga worth talking about other than Zach Maxwell?
Oh, man. No. Every time Zach Maxwell pitches, you got to tune in. But he's not going to pitch with many leads, so you better tune in about the 6th inning because that's usually when they use him. So, but no, it hasn't been great. Petty really hasn't looked great either. I think, again, it's hard to know with these pitchers. Like, there's so many times that they'll be working on things early in the season, and the numbers, like, look at Chase Petty early in the season when he got to Dayton. He looked horrible, and he ended up with, like, a 1.9 ERA last year. So I think it's hard to know sometimes, but, yeah, we're really – offensively, we're really struggling in chat. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to get much better because I think they want to keep that – nucleus together. I'm sure we're about to talk about Dayton, but I think they want to keep that team together for a little bit there. That's a lot of fun what they're doing.
All right, down to high A. The Dayton Dragons, exciting game on Thursday night. They lost 7-6 in 10 innings. They fall to 6-6 on the year, but no one cares about the actual result of the game. But it was the Cam Collier show once again. 3-for-5. He's got it with 2 home runs. He's got 5 home runs already, matching his total for all of last season. Collier hitting 340 OPS over 1,000. Bryce, I am never going to look at a statistic offensively from the Florida State League and give it any weight whatsoever after seeing what Collier has done and seeing some other players as well over the last couple of years. But Cam Collier, you're seeing why he was a first-round draft pick and why he has a chance to be a big league star.
Yeah, 100%. And all the people that dropped Collier from, I think he was literally ranked on every draft prospect rankings possible right after the draft. Everybody loved him, signed for $5 million. He was a borderline top 5 to 10 talent in that draft. And the Reds took a chance on him. They got him to sign, and he struggled a little bit, like you mentioned, in a really tough league at 18 years old, which is, he was like the 3rd youngest player in the entire league. And now look at him. He's arguably the best, one of the youngest players in the Midwest League still, and he's putting up the best numbers in the Midwest League. So I always say it, some people just got it, and Cam Collier's just got it. You watch him hit, like tonight against a tough left-handed pitcher, He goes 107 to right center off the bat, 108 to right center off the bat. Just flat line drives with backspin. You just don't teach that stuff. You can't teach a 19-year-old kid to do that consistently, and that's what he's done so far, and it's been really awesome to see.
Maybe if there is one thing to take out of numbers from Daytona is Collier did last year have a 349 on base percentage. Just there was no power whatsoever, but you know, maybe you look at some of the process type numbers. And I would say if there's maybe one thing that could maybe be a little bit of a concern is that Collier has been able to hit everything. He's only walked once so far this year in 48 plate appearances. So that's maybe something you'd like to see a little bit more of, but it's so early and he's crushed the ball that it's hard to see. Well, that's something I think that's worth at least keeping our eye on, how that over the course of the year kind of fluctuates back and forth. Then the next guy, Hector Rodriguez, he's off to a great start as well. 3-for-6 with a double, hitting .356, OPS over .921. Bryce, I know you've been talking about this guy a lot. This is a guy you really like.
Yeah. In terms of just pure ability to hit, I'm not sure the Reds have a better prospect. Like you watch Hector hit, and it's not always pretty. He's going to take some really ugly swings, but I posted one on my Twitter tonight, and he's like reaching and he hits a ball off the right field wall, like reaching on his front foot and just flicks his wrist at it. Like he's like 5'8", 170 pounds, and he's hitting balls like 110 miles an hour. Like you don't, again, it's just somebody, you just got it. Like he's got it. He's got this unreal bat control that you can't teach. He's able to make contact with so many things. Like everybody always talks about his chase rate, which obviously we don't want people chasing 45% of the time. Like that's not sustainable for anybody, but he's striking out like 17% of the time chasing that much. Like sometimes like you look at like a Luis Arraez or somebody like that, you just have this ability to make contact more often than not. Obviously he's not running like 8-9% K rates like Arraez is, but he hits the ball harder than those guys do. And has the ability to get to his game power so easy with the ability to bat the ball. So yeah, I love Hector. I think he's going to settle into like a left field guy who's just going to hit his way through the minor leagues with this group here.
All right, other notes from the game on Thursday night. Sal Stewart doubled. He was on base twice. Carlos Jorge, 2-for-5, double, also stole his fifth base. And Victor Acosta, he had 2 infield hits. That doubled his hit total for the year. So it's not Acosta. It's, how do you say it? I heard it on the Acosta. I heard it on the broadcast. Tom Nichols said Acosta. That is going to wreck me trying to say that. Acosta. Does not look like that. All right. But Acosta, good to see him play well. Dragons on Friday night, Rhett Lauder is starting. So I would highly recommend if you're able to get to Day Air Ballpark, you get with that. That is also the MILB free game of the night. So even if you don't have MILB TV or MLB TV, as it comes with it now, you can watch that for free. So I would highly recommend tuning in. Any thoughts on Lauder or anyone else in Dayton?
Yeah, excited to watch Rhett pitch for the second time. He looked great his first time out, so excited to see what he can do again. But yeah, another guy, Sal Stewart, you mentioned him there. Just such a good hitter. He does everything so well. He's gonna run like 1-to-1 walk to strikeout ratios. He's 20 years old. He's getting his game power more consistently. It's such a fun at bat to watch. Like you think of some of the most polished hitters you'll see at that age, he's right there. And just love the way he has a feel for the barrel. Love the way he looks in the box. He just does everything offensively that you could want. So that group there, you mentioned Hector, Cam, and Sal, that's such a fun group to follow. And I think we're, again, I mentioned it talking about Chattanooga. I think they want to kind of keep these guys together. They're all around the same age, that they played in Daytona together last year. So I think we'll see them kind of progress together. I don't want people to get antsy if these guys are still tearing it up in like June and they haven't really done anything. Like the Reds are they're smart. They understand that they don't have to rush these things. Like these guys can develop. High A is a really good league. It's a good level. And there's a lot of really good players that kind of settle there. So excited to see them continue to develop this year.
Yeah, Collier, Rodriguez, Stewart, Jorge. You never know how these guys are going to finish out the rest of their minor league tenures, but kind of feels like maybe the next wave of your Ellie McLain CES. I know CES didn't play, obviously, in the Reds organization very long, but might towards the end of next year kind of see some of these guys start trickling up together. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas. They won 8-4 over Bradenton in 11 innings. Tortugas now 6-6 on the season. I know, Bryce, you were excited because Bradenton, one of the few teams that broadcast their games on TV, so we've been able to watch a little bit of the Tortugas. Carlos Sanchez, Alfredo Duno, and Eastmith Pineda were all out of the lineup, though, on Thursday. But Ricardo Cabrera, 3-for-5 with a double. He's hitting .324, OPS over 1,000. Cabrera's only 19 years old, really kind of flying up the prospect rankings. Tell me a little bit more about Ricardo Cabrera, because he's a guy I don't really know a whole lot about, to be honest.
Yeah, he was a guy that the Reds were super high on. They got him, I think he was like the second or third ranked IFA prospect out of his class. So it was a big signing, similar to Duno in a lot of ways, really highly regarded in a lot and pretty much every ranking out there. And he's hit everywhere he's been as well. So he's a really high bat the ball guy. And he's really kind of filled out. He came up as a shortstop, kind of a smaller guy. But he looks really strong. He's kind of grown into his body a little bit. Like you said, he's only 19, so he's still a kid and really kind of learning who he is. So I think he's going to kind of settle at maybe third base, maybe second base. But the bat's going to carry him throughout the system. I think he could even be a pretty fast riser. He kind of finished the season in Daytona last year. So I think they feel confident in who he is. So I think he's a guy we could possibly see jump into Dayton with that group there. But I think that he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but he's such a strong prospect in terms of what he brings offensively that his ceiling and floor, honestly, really is different than a lot of other prospects because you feel so confident about what he does in the box.
And his numbers, especially when you look at Sanchez, Duno, and Pineda, they've all really struggled to start the year. And we talked about, like Cam Collier's numbers overall. Kind of makes it all the more impressive what Ricardo Cabrera is doing. Anyone else in Daytona stand out to you? I know there's a couple really good arms they've got down there.
Yeah, some fun arms. Adam Saranowski, I've mentioned him quite a few times on this pod. Really talented left-handed arm that they've got. He's herky-jerky, but he throws like 97 from the left side and throws a lot of strikes. He's got, I think he had 11 strikeouts in 2 starts so far. So he's been great. Andrew Laureano is a really exciting young arm. He's 21, so he's a bullpen guy too. I think he's a guy we could probably see jump to Dayton, even Chattanooga at some point this year. They're pretty aggressive with bullpen guys once they kind of figure out their mix and what that's looking like. So both those guys have been great so far. Again, it's hard to know. Low A is a weird league, especially in the Florida State League. Like you have mixed results offensively and pitching wise. But yeah, anytime I've been able to watch them, I've been really encouraged by those results there.
All right, good stuff as always with Bryce talking some Reds on MLB. All right, Reds Friday night going up against the lefty Tyler Anderson of the Angels. He's off to an incredible start this season. He's got a 1.47 ERA through his first 3 starts. Has only struck out 12 batters and 18 in the third, so not a lot of strikeouts from Anderson, but he certainly got the job done so far. Anderson's a guy who's really had an up and down career. He had a great rookie year in 2016, incredible 2022 year with the Dodgers, but really just been pretty average, slightly below average the rest of his career. He's got a career 3.31 ERA in 32 and 2/3 innings against the Reds. Last year, you might remember, he came in relief after Shohei Ohtani got hurt. Pitched pretty well up until he gave up a 3-run bomb to Ellie De La Cruz. Actually put the Reds up 5-4. However, the active Reds, they're just 4-for-35 against him. The only extra base hit was that Ellie De La Cruz home run. Your notable right-handed bats will expect to see in the lineup against him on Friday night. Candelario 0-for-4. CES 0-for-2. India 0-for-2. Fairchild 0-for-5, Steers 1-for-2. Nick Lodolo, we're expecting that he's going to pitch on Friday night, although the Reds have not made any official announcement. Of course, by the time you hear this podcast, maybe something's changed. Hopefully it is Nick Lodolo, because I want to see Nick Lodolo on Friday night. He's never faced the Angels, coming off that his first start of the year against the White Sox, 5 2/3 shutout innings, just one hit, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Bryce, how excited are you about Nick Lodolo right now?
It's awesome. It's so good to see, especially with how good the rotation's pitched so far. And I think that adding your best pitcher in the middle of the year is always a good thing, especially when that pitcher is healthy. So obviously that's the biggest thing with Nick. Nobody's ever questioned his ability to get people out, especially at the big league level. It's always been about health for him. So if he has to be a five and dive guy for a little bit to make sure his leg's good, I'm fine with that. He's going to make a big enough impact in those particular starts or innings, but I thought he looked awesome in Chicago. I know that's a really bad lineup, but I think he would have dominated pretty much any lineup in baseball on that day. He looked great. Velocity looked good. That's all you can really ask for.
All right. Well, Bryce, all the NL Central teams were off on Thursday because the Cubs were the only team at the schedule game, and they ended up getting rained out. Coming into Friday morning, Brewers 11-6, Cubs 11-7, Pirates 11-8, Reds 9-9, Cardinals 9-10. Very competitive, very good division early here in the year. Brewers come back down to earth a little bit. Pirates have come down to earth a lot. Cubs playing really good baseball right now. Cardinals have just kind of been eh. What's kind of your overall take on kind of the division? Anything stand out to you so far?
Yeah, probably the Brewers offense. I mean, that team is just inevitable. I've tried to write them off so many times, and you just can't do it. That I knew that their prospects were good coming up, but Bryce Terang's been really good for him. He's kind of taken that next step. Sal Frelick is a pest in the box. I don't think he's any good, but you look up and he's hitting .310. So it's hard to deny it. And of course, Adames and Contreras are doing what they do. And Yelich is hurt. He's kind of dealing with some stuff right now. So that's going to hurt their lineup, obviously. And like you mentioned, the Pirates are kind of coming back to being the Pirates. So I'm not too mad about that one. And I think the Cubs are the best team in the division, in my opinion, right now. I think that they're the most complete team, kind of top to bottom. Besides their bullpen, has been horrible. They signed Hector Neris. He's throwing like 90 miles an hour and can't get anybody out. And their closer situation's a disaster. So I'm very interested to see, like you mentioned, I think that we're going to look up in July and we're probably all going to be separated by 2.5 games still. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to really separate here, good or bad. I think a lot of these teams are just going to kind of hover around this 4 or 5 games over 500 level until somebody kind of gets hot. So we'll see how it goes. But like you mentioned, I think it's going to be a competitive division all year.
Yeah, let's hope the Cubs bullpen really just implodes on them and makes them lose a lot of games before the trade deadline. Because that's obviously, if you had one area you wanted to correct, that's the easiest area to fix at a trade deadline. One thing that stands out to me, Bryce, I'm looking at it here. So the Reds have scored 3 less runs than the Brewers. You know, not really any big deal there. But the Brewers have scored 28 more runs than the Cardinals, and they've played 2 less games than St. Louis. How insane is that?
That Cardinals lineup, it's fallen from their graces. Paul Goldschmidt is look at his numbers and tell you if you want to give out big contracts to 35-year-olds again. But, shoo, Arenado, too, I don't know that. Their young guys are really struggling too. Jordan Walker's on the verge of getting sent down. Victor Scott's on the verge of getting sent down. So things aren't good in Birdland right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, they got a lot of talent. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not putting them in their grave, because they're clearly a team that I think is capable of playing a lot better. But that is just wild to me that they've underperformed that much compared to the Brewers. One other question about the NL Central. I got to ask you, Bryce, as a prospect guy. How worried should we be about Paul Skenes?
Oh, God. He's so good, man. He is so good. And it pains me to say it, but I really wanted to say the Pirates missed on the first overall pick, but I don't think they did. I love Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Langford's probably one of my favorite prospects in the draft ever. But Skeens looks like a guy that could literally, I don't know why he's not pitching in the big leagues. I really don't. You watch him face these AAA guys, it's like, it's not even fair. He's just dominating them. It's he had 8 strikeouts in 3 2/3 tonight, and it's crazy. He's so good.
Yeah, I mean, for a Pirates rotation that coming into the year looked pretty bad, Jared Jones has been incredible. Obviously, Mitch Keller is a very capable pitcher. Martin Perez has pitched pretty well for them. You put Paul Skeens in that, all of a sudden the Pirates go from the scene that looked like they had a pretty terrible starting pitching rotation to actually a really good pitching rotation.
Yeah. Well, what Jared Jones is doing is one of the most bizarre, not really bizarre, he was really good before, but just insane things ever. He's getting so many whiffs and swings and misses. The other night, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they took him out after 59 pitches. And Pirates Twitter, for some reason I'm on Pirates Twitter right now, but it was just blowing up like crazy. So if they're going to keep doing that, I'm okay with that, because again, I don't think their bullpen's going to be able to hold up over 162 if they're going to put an innings limit on all these guys. So it's interesting to see. We'll see.
Well, good stuff as always, Bryce. Always appreciate you coming on. Love your insight into the Reds minor leagues and everything else in between. Thanks so much to everyone for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. If you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, wherever you're listening, make sure you do that. New podcast in the morning after every single game. And if there's typically an off day in the middle of the week, we'll try to have a podcast for that as well. Of course, be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, where we have live post-game shows after every game and lots of other great content. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. We'd appreciate that. But most importantly, if you know Reds fan, tell them about Chatterbox Reds. Tell them about this podcast. They might enjoy it as well. If you're looking for something on Friday morning and afternoon, check out Get Your Sports Fix Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Talking all things Cincinnati sports and beyond. And the Kenner and Kev Show, 3 to 5 on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That is a simulcast of the radio show on ESPN 1410 in Dayton. Well, hope that everyone has a fantastic Friday. Hopefully the Reds can get back on track during this homestand. Hopefully you're able to get down to a ball game if you're in town. We'll talk again Friday night. Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube. Of course, if you missed that, Chatterbox Reds in your podcast feed on Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everyone. Go Reds.